And so, with the cup held high, me the leave Croke Park, All-Ireland football champions for 1949.
Oh, beautiful me, you got all that I need.
Dempsey hits Darren Fay. Anthony Finnerty comes in and gives him a touch of the elbow. Colm Coyle hitting Finnerty. This is Colm's first punt. Finnerty, delayed reaction, looks around, sees Martin O'Connell coming in and thinks that the best action is to go down.
What a set of matches we've had. Four terrific and memorable games. Final score, Meath 2-10, Dublin 15.
So Joe McDonagh, GAA president, presents Sam Maguire to Graham Geraghty and Meath are the football champions.
Hello, listeners. You're very welcome to another edition of the We Are Meath podcast with Davey Risman and Mickey Brennan. I suppose 2023 is well over and done, but now, Davey, we're into the second week of January. We're going into the third week, I think, actually, of January now. And O'Byrne Cup, Keogh Cup, Meath ladies are getting ready to get out on the road as well. We've had LGFA underage panels announced and the whole lot. 2023 is a long forgotten year now at this stage. We're nearly halfway through the new year of 2024. Well, it feels like it at this stage.
It was, yeah. I think we're pretty happy to get the O'Byrne Cup done and dusted, and we can kind of look forward now with great eagerness towards the league, which is only a couple of weeks away or less now. And the hurlers obviously kicked off over the weekend. As you said, the ladies have made waves as well over the last few days. So they're getting prepped for their season opener at the end of the month too. So it's all systems going. Obviously, the under-20s are gearing up as well. They've been playing a series of challenge matches. Did a job, I believe, on Cavan last week in a challenge match and an impressive performance. So we're looking forward to getting to see more of them in the coming weeks too. There's quite a bit expected of that team.
Yeah, there would be for sure. I was talking to a man the other night who said that they had Meath under-20s had played against the Cavan under-20s and that Meath won by 4 or 5 points. But you're telling me different, are you?
No, I didn't hear for sure. I just heard they won well. But
okay.
You could win well and win by 4 or 5 points, or you could win well
at this time of the year. That's a hammering, really, isn't it?
Yeah, possibly.
Absolutely.
But then I was at a game today, the Keogh Cup, and if you looked on the face of it, down in Meath, down beat me by 7 points, and you think that's comfortable enough at anything but, so you never know.
Yeah, well, we'll come back to that in a couple of moments' time. We're going to start on Friday night in the O'Byrne Cup semi-final. Meath against Longford, played on Friday night under the lights in Ashburn. Meath 1-14, Longford 2-14. Davey, we were talking last week about our opening round win against Louth in Ashburn as well on the Saturday. And we were like, Colm O'Rourke, you know, he's going with a strong panel the first week out. We're like going, this is the way it's going to be for the rest of the year. He wants to have his team ready for the Allianz League. You know, he's going to put out a strong team against Longford. He did put out a strong team against Longford on Friday night, but it was a cross of, we'll say, the reserve and the development squad across some sort of a menagerie of both of them. It was still a fairly strong panel, and they put in a good performance. They lost by a goal. It was 1-14 to Longford's 8 points to 2-6 at halftime in favour of Longford. But it was still a good run out for me.
It was, absolutely. I think most people, if not everybody, driving away from Dunmore Ashburn on Friday night would have been delighted with the team. Obviously, the first time any Meath team of that ilk has been put together and went out and played. Those fellas featuring that we didn't even know were on the panel. Now, there were some, obviously, who you said were on the development squad. I think it was 5 or 6 who played, and everybody did well. You know, I have to say it was an impressive performance. Met somebody at the hurling on Sunday, and they had a friend from Longford, you know, and your man from Longford was saying, we don't have the luxury of having a second or third team, so we have to go strong every game, you know, in Longford's case. But Longford won the game by 3 in the end, but they didn't have it easy, and Meath looked good in patches of that game. Probably just a little bit of experience or lack of, maybe on Meath's behalf, was to their detriment. But overall, it was a very encouraging performance from the players who were on show, Mickey.
Yeah, and we were saying, you know, it looks like Colm is going to settle with, you know, a certain amount of players, and he's going to give chances to other lads in amongst a lot of experienced players. And he rang in the changes for the game against Longford, as we said. And how many survivors from the week beforehand? Was there two, maybe three at the most?
Yeah, I think two. Michael Flood and... Oh, Jesus.
I catch you on the hop.
Michael Flood and possibly, was it Jack O'Connor, maybe? Few guys came on, obviously, in the first game that started, the likes of Adam McDonnell and Keith Curtis, Cathal Finnegan, Dara Rowe. They all came in for a start, having featured off the bench the first day. But, yeah, I think 13 or 14 changes in all. And another, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 substitutes came on, you know, so, or 7 substitutes. Everybody got game time off the bench as well. So, really worthwhile exercise. Two factors, obviously. We know at this stage, it was well known that Meath had a challenge match against Galway on Saturday, which sort of was the preference. I think Galway did the same. And the Sigerson, which lads were playing Tuesday and Wednesday. We had up to 14 players involved during the week. So the likelihood was they couldn't play again on Friday. So they were the two reasons why we've seen such an amount of changes. But yeah, they acquitted themselves really well. And isn't that what early season competitions are all about, is blood and new talent and giving them an opportunity to go and showcase what they're about? And to be fair, there was certainly a handful of fellas that went and did that.
Yeah, there definitely was. And we will be doing a full review of that game from Friday night over on our Loyal Royals podcast on Patreon.com/WeAreMeath. We've interviews with Colm O'Rourke and Jack O'Connor, who was one of the standout players on the evening. So do look over to that one. We've a whole host of Loyal Royals podcasts going out this week. You should have had your match day diary from the Upper Ireland Cup semi-final. That should have dropped at this stage. We will have the Meath versus Longford review, and we will have a review of Meath versus Down in the Keogh Cup with interviews with Saoirse Bolfin and the double century making player Mickey Burke. Of course, he made his 200th appearance for Meath in his own Longwood, I believe, as well, Davey, which was a nice little touch. We'll go on to that game now in a minute. But Mickey Burke, what a player, what a man. And at this stage, there's going to be a statue of him over in Longwood.
Yeah, he's going the right way to try and emulate what his father would have done, old Stoney, down through the years. What a man. 38 years of age, just after becoming a father, 200 games for Meath, 19 seasons inter-county between football and hurling. Just a magnificent warrior. And as I said to Saoirse in the post-match reflections, I said dying breed, but I said, let me correct myself. It's a dead breed. You're never going to see another Mickey Burke, not just in Meath, but in any other county. Those days are gone. But what a player, and what a servant he's been to Meath football and hurling down through the years, and still going strong. Did really, really well on the day, by the way. You can get the whole occasion can sometimes overshadow these things, you know, the guard of honor, the, you know, the home game in Longwood, all the above. But he was really good. He was really solid at cornerback. Classic Mickey Burke performance. Nothing too flashy or dramatic. The only flashy thing about Mickey Burke is, of course, his appearance. But when he goes across the white line, you know, keeps it very simple, knows his limitations and what he's good at. And I think his longevity is just testament to the way in which he can keep himself right all these years. Just an incredible role model to any young player coming through.
Yeah, 100%. You said it there, like, you know, we'll not see the likes of it again. And we just won't, because it's impossible for the dual player to participate in both codes, and we just don't see it happening anymore. And it's becoming a big problem in the LGFA and the Camogie as well. We're starting to see maybe that division being made as well. We rarely see dual players anymore, even in the Camogie and the ladies football. But what's making it even harder for them is that the fixtures are being fixed for around the same time, same weekends, and maybe less than 24 hours between games and whatever. So the likelihood is that for player welfare, we won't see that see them much in the future.
No, and even the one code thing, you're not going to see it either. You're never going to see a player in hurling or football doing 19 seasons on the spin. I don't think it's possible anymore the way the game has gone. But you're right, Mickey was probably the last that we had to do it and got away with it probably for a couple of years playing the two. I know James Toher tried the same and there were probably a handful of other fellas too, but you're right, the way the fixtures have gone, I suppose the demands attached to each of them as well just makes it nigh on impossible. And Mickey probably was the last player to maybe really benefit from that before having to make a decision. And listen, it was nice for him to step back into the hurling after his footballing days were sort of numbered. So, you know, brilliant to see him still going. And this will likely be his last dance, you know, this year. And he'll go out and really enjoy it, I'd imagine.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, look, I never say never. Mickey Burke can still be talking out in 2 years' time when he hits the 4-0. But anyway, let's bring it back to that Keogh Cup game. You were at it, Davey. Meath 116, down 220. It was 1-7 to Meath at halftime, 14 points to down at halftime. We will, again, as I said, be doing a full review of this over on our Loyal Royals podcast with interviews from Saoirse Bolfin and Mickey Burke. But it's a new look Meath hurling team, it has to be said. A lot of changes on it for Saoirse Bolfin this year. But again, they didn't disgrace themselves in any way, shape or form. And, you know, in the lead up to half time had brought it back to level and Down just managed to get 4 points ahead of them in the run into half time.
Yeah, and to be fair, Meath did most of the hurling in the second half, Mickey, but were profligate in front of the posts, and Down were just that little bit more clinical. It was a much stronger downside probably to what Meath had out. But it was another very encouraging performance from an unrecognisable team, maybe barring a few that obviously would have featured prominently last year. There's a number of players who have yet to come back. The likes of Shawnee Geraghty, James Toher, Charlie Ennis. I'm missing a few. Dame O'Healy obviously is still coming back to fitness. James Murray.
And we know Brendan McKeown has gone to the footballers and...
Yeah, Brendan McKeown, Jack Regan's away on his travels at the moment as well. So that opened the door for a number of players to come in. And I have to say, two players that stood out to me were the Shine twins from Ballinlock or from Kilskira. I thought they were absolutely brilliant. Tom in the midfield ran the show and Dara got a goal and a couple of points from centre forward. Really impressive performance from them. And I know like the scoreline looks bad in the end, but Padraig O'Hanrahan missed a penalty going into injury time to put Meath level. And there was 5 minutes of injury time. Had he put that penalty away, I'm convinced Meath would have went on and won the game because they were completely on top. So they missed the penalty. Obviously, 3 points still in the difference. And Down go down and get the second goal. And it puts a bit of gloss on it from their perspective. But Meath were every bit as good. And they can take plenty of encouragement because they are going to face Down, I think, a couple of times this year in league and championship. But based on what we've seen on Sunday, they have nothing to fear with some big players to come back into it as well.
Yeah, and this is the time that Saoirse Bolfin will want to be given a chance to all these players and seeing what they can do ahead of their league campaign. Next up for Meath is a trip to Wicklow and Bray Emmett's Field to take on Wicklow next Sunday, the 21st of January. And the following week will be their final game in the Keogh Cup against Kildare. And that will be taking place in Hawkfield. On the 28th, I think it is. So best of luck to Saoirse and a great chance for him to get more game time into these players and maybe look at a few more players ahead of their league campaigns.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne and Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910, or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne and Sons. If you need any more information on the Automore, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Davey, just before we move on, we mentioned it there before the Keogh Cup, before we talked about the Keogh Cup, that Meath took on Galway on Saturday in a challenge match. Again, the idea behind that, giving the lads an extra day, the fellas who were playing, Sigerson, etc., and whatever, and obviously Colm O'Rourke wanted to get a challenge against higher opposition ahead of the National Football League. Obviously, if they beat Longford, they would have been playing Dublin, I think, in the O'Byrne Cup final. But that would have been a week away from your league campaign. So maybe, you know, there was method to the madness and player welfare and all that came into it. But, you know, Meath, I don't know the team that started against Galway, but if I'm not mistaken, they only lost by a couple of points, 2 or 3 points to Galway in the end.
Yeah, lost by 4. It was 15-11 it finished up. Meath were actually a point up at halftime, 9 points to 8, but Galway brought on a couple of big guns in Shane Walsh and Paul Conroy for the second half, and that sort of turned the tide in their favour. Now, Meath still led it midway.
Were Galway short a few players? Did Meath have to give them one? Shane Walsh.
No, sorry. Shane Walsh was playing for us as well. Two Shane Walshes on the field. And actually, our own Shane Walsh was very impressive in the inside line, along with Aaron Lynch. They were our two best forwards. Very interesting development, because we know that the centre-back jersey is one that is kind of itching. You know, it's irking Colm O'Rourke at the minute, because there's a massive void there left with Padraig Arnhem at the moment. He's tried Ronan Jones. A man who played at centre-half-back over the weekend was Dara Campion, and looked at home, played ever so well, I believe, and could potentially be a dark horse to start there when we play Fermanagh in a fortnight's time. I can run you through the team if you want. I've got the starting 15 if you want. I can run through
just,
it. Maybe.
Yeah, just before you do, that whole centre-half-back position, and I know it's a massive position on any field, is the centre-half-back position. But you do want, number one, you want a player who can read the game. You want a player who will hold that position, but you want a ball player, you know. And they're the three things that make that position so important. And Dara Campion is definitely a great reader of the game. He's an unbelievable ball player. And I suppose if he can hold that position and join attacks late, like we were talking about that last week, Ronan Jones joining the attack late and whatever, you know, like, I think it is a position that you can bring a forward back and play him in that position if you teach him a few little skills to make him feel at home in that position.
Yeah, and I think Campo is a player that maybe nowadays plays with a great level of maturity as well. I think he's a captain for TU Dublin, isn't he, as well? So he's obviously a good leader. He's got a great understanding of the game, and he ticks all the boxes that you were just after saying in terms of his positional sense, his strength, his reading of the game, and his ball playing ability. So, and I think he played there underage possibly as well. So, like, I think that could possibly be the place for him, because if somebody asked you on the face of it, what's Campo's best position, I don't think you could answer that in a split second, could you? Like, he's been tried in a number of different positions, but I'm not so sure that we've probably found a position for him as of yet. Definitely with it in a county sense.
Yeah, it's funny, because I've been at a few McKenna Cup games and whatever in recent times, and watching the likes of Derry, the likes of Down, Tyrone Armagh, the way they're playing now, the sweeper keeper. And the sweeper keeper is coming right up the field, and he's playing, you know, in the half forward line at times, because they're trying to create that plus one. Because teams are all dropping back and then they're all getting forward. And what I've seen is the way to negate that is that when you turn over the ball, if you've got somebody holding a forward position, is you need a kicker, and you need to be able to kick accurately across the retreating team into that one-on-one battle. And if you can do that, you can get great joy out of it, because your goalkeeper is running back towards his own goals. And it creates a lot of goal chances. So maybe that's the thinking with the likes of Darragh Campion and with the likes of Jones, is that when they come up against these sweeper keepers and turn over the ball, that the first thing they want to do is get the ball to those players to play the long ball into the forward line. Anyway, that's something we'll have to keep an eye on throughout the National League, because it is something that we're going to see an awful lot more of, is these sweeper keepers coming out the field and people trying to negate that. So anyway, name the 15 that started against Galway.
So in goals, it was Harry Hogan, as it was on Friday night. Full back line of Donald Keoghan, Adam O'Neill and Michael Murphy. It was a half back line of Sean Coffey, Darragh Campion and Kieran Caulfield. A midfield pairing of Cathal Hickey and Jack Flynn. Half forward line of Doughty McGowan, Owen Frayne and Rory Kinsella. And a full forward line of Aaron Lynch, Matthew Costello and Shane Walsh. I think Aaron Lynch and Shane Walsh ended up our top scorers on the day, but sounds like a very worthwhile exercise for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was there any other crossover apart from Billy Hogan?
I didn't hear...
Harry, sorry.
I didn't hear about substitutes. I'm sure there were, but that was just the starting 15. You're saying anybody who started Friday night as well? No, he was the only one. Yeah, so no outfield player started Friday.
Interesting. Really worthwhile exercise. Playing a Division One opposition and putting in a performance like that. Yeah, look, suppose that's the team that we'll... Week to week, we're going to see the spine of a team. And I suppose the O'Byrne Cup team from Friday night was not the team that we were thinking of and whatever. Gives them a chance now as well, a couple of weeks ahead of their opening round tie against Fermanagh, Davy, to get a little bit of work in and maybe fine-tune it before that first game.
Colm alluded to that in his post-match interview as well. I think they'll probably play a few in-house games against each other. And they've got obviously a much bigger panel to do stuff like that. And with the weight of the Sigerson Cup on fellas as well, I don't think that's a bad thing, because they're all going to be in action again this coming week. So I think having 2 weeks off clean gives them a chance to work on things. Because bear in mind, when the lads are away, when 14 fellas are away playing Sigerson Tuesday and Wednesday, you're down to probably 12 or 13 lads training on the Tuesday and Thursday with Meath, which is not ideal or far from ideal when you're missing the bulk of your starting 15. So I think the weekend free, if you like, next weekend will be a big help to Colm and his management team to work on things for Fermanagh.
I suppose, Davey, we were, you know, after that first round game against Louth, you know, confidence was building and we were starting to talk about, can we be confident and whatever. Having seen the result against Galway from Saturday, Meade leading at half time. Galway brought in a couple of big guns in the second half and they pulled away or whatever. Is the confidence still there? Is all I'm saying. Are we still? I think we're starting to maybe feel that kind of a buzz going around the county, and backed up by the performance by our second string inverted commas on Friday night against Longford. There is reason to be positive and to be confident going into this National Football League.
100% there is, yeah. Look, it's the exact same as it was last week. But at the same time, I think everything hinges on the first game. I think if you beat Fermanagh at home, you're in a really decent position. But if you lose it, God forbid, you're in a perilous one all of a sudden. So, again, reluctant to kind of say too much, but we should have a better indication of where we're going or where we're at after two or three, four games of the league. But I do think an awful lot will hinge on that first round game for sure.
Yeah. Looking at the league very briefly, this is going on a sidetrack or whatever. You're kind of looking at it and you're saying, right, Fermanagh and Louth, if we can get wins there and pick up another two wins somewhere along the line, that should be bringing you up into the top four. And then it's you're looking at three other games that you're kind of like going, right, well, bonus territory, a win in one of them should put us into a promotion chasing place.
100%. The bonus games are Donegal away and Armagh away. Armagh's second, Donegal is last, both away games. I think anything from one of those two games is a bonus, and all things being equal, should put you in the promotion shake-up, barring you feck up somewhere along the line in a game that you shouldn't. But absolutely, target Fermanagh, target Louth at home. You've got Kildare and Cork at home as well. you'd like to think that minimum we could pick up one win from those two games. And I know our record in Cavan isn't good, but like we need to be like targeting a win in Cavan as well. It won't be easy, but at the same time, if we have ambitions of playing Division One or, you know, challenging when it comes to All Ireland, you need to be beating Cavan. So there's definitely four or five really winnable games for me there. But the Donegal and Armagh games are the ones in my eyes on paper that are the hardest ones, and they're unfortunately two of the games that we have on the road this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we will be staying abreast of all this over the coming weeks, and can't wait for the Allianz Football League to start. Davey, in other news, the Meath Ladies manager, Shane McCormack, he has announced his captain for the 2024 season and his vice captains. Monica McGurk will be the captain, which is great to see and well-deserving receiving that captaincy. And the two vice-captains will be Aveen Cleary from Dunamore Ashburn and Katie New from Rathoath. So he's ringing in the changes, and probably about time that side of things was maybe freshened up a little.
Yeah, big hat tip to the Defenders Union, isn't it? With three defensive players been picked out, but absolutely they've been like incredible servants and real, I would say, nearly unsung heroes in many respects. Ever present throughout and really, really good leaders for a number of years now. So I'm delighted for the three girls, delighted for Monica as well. She absolutely deserves it. She's been so consistent down through the years, as have Katie and Aveen, to be fair. So we wish them well.
Yeah, man, they'll get their season underway towards the end of this month.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer, on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automore, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Davey, sticking with ladies football, the Meath LGFA, they've announced their underage panels for this coming season, and you happen to have them there. We might run through them and give them all a shout out and wish them all the best luck in their coming season.
Yeah, Mickey, so we'll start with the under-14 Meath ladies squad for 2024. It's going to be led by a former Cortown manager, Anthony Monaghan from the Castletown club. And he'll be assisted by Andrew Delaney from Gael Columbkill, Thomas McQuaid from St Michael's, Kira Murray from St Dalton's, Jenny Healy also from St Dalton's, John Lyons from Waterstown, and Kevin Jordan from Gael Columbkill. The FLOs will be Anne Young from Castletown and Julie Hartford from Duleek Bellewstown. The squad, I'll give you the clubs, and some clubs have more than one on it, so we'll run through the clubs step by step and announce who's on who. So from Blackhall Gales, Ruby Whelan, Cairn Ross have Rhianna Murphy, Clannagale have Holly Doughty, Dunamore Ashburn have three players, including Gracie Corcoran, Isabella Lynch, and Nessa McGee. Drumbarra have Ava McGlew, Dunsany have Chloe O'Neill. Gabrielle Smith is there from Longwood. Abby McCormick represents Manalvi. From Nafina, it's Anna Cole and Nina Doherty. Oldcastle have Saoirse Farrelly, Ratota have Quayle Murray, Sarah Murphy and Zara McCaig. Centretown have two players, Emma O'Donoghue and Jane Smith. Slane have Megan McGuinness. St Michael's have Zoe O'Rourke. Ciarán Quinn represents in Colm Kills. Chloe Callaghan and Lauren Riley are from St Michael's. There's three from St Pat's, including Keelan Burns, Lexi Kelly and Olivia McCarthy. St Dalton's also have three, Kira Clark, Eleanor Fallon and Leanna Coyne. And the final representation comes from Walterstown, and that's Aoife O'Connell. So that's the Meath under 14 team for 2024. The Meath under 16 team is next up, and they're going to be led by Vernon Savage from the Gael Colm Kill Club. And he's going to be assisted with five mentors, including Alan Brown from Waterstown, the one and only Tommy Hanley from Clannagail, Karen Kerwin from Newbridge Sarsfields, Brian Williams from Nafina, and Michael Briardy from Moyle. A pretty star-studded under 16 management team, it has to be said. The FLO will be Audrey Kelleher Murphy from Gael Colm Kill, and the squad list is as follows, starting with Bective. They've got Ava Fitzsimons representing their club. Blackhall Gales had one on the under 14s, they've got another one on the under 16s, that's Catherine Hanlon. Two from Clannagail, including Zara Farnan and Ava Hanley. Clannard have Sophie Foran. D Rangers have one, and that's Niamh Byrne. Dunmore Ashburn have four representatives, including Grace Hanley, Katianne Bobbitt, Lucy O'Connell, and Abigail Goff. One from Drumbarra, like they had with the under 14s, that's Ella McGlue. So she's on the under 14s and 16s panels. Fair play to her. Dunboyne have four representatives, including Aoife Donoghue, Erin Mangan, Erin McNulty, and Ruth O'Reilly. One from Dundry, that's Rebecca Larkin. One from Dunshaughlin and Royal Gales, that's Niamh Somerville. Two from Kilbride, including Erica Riley and Grace Moody. Three from Moyle, Hannah Briardy, Jessica Briardy, and Laura Campbell. One from Navan O'Matney's, that's Ashley Custerick. Oldcastle also have one, Isabel Delaney. Sedgetown have Anna Donnelly. Simonstown have Aoife Cahill. St Colm Kills have Ava O'Toole. St Dalton's have Cara Brennan. Trim have Ellen Murray. And finally, Walterstown have two representatives, including Anya Downs and Ali Brown. So that's the under-16s sorted. And finally, we have the Meath Ladies Minor Squad for 2024, and they're going to be led by Declan Smith, the Screen clubman. And his mentors include James Reddy, also from Screen, Fergal Harney, the one and only, finds it hard to stay away, doesn't he, Fergal Harney? He's going to be a selector with the Minors this year, of course, representing Simonstown Gales nowadays. Ollie McLaughlin's also there from Screen, Mark Brodigan from St Colm Kills, Pat Diskin, along with his wife Fiona, both from Screen too. There's two FLOs, Deirdre Somerville from the Dunshaughlin Royal Gales Club and Marie Healy Cole from Fina. And the squad is as follows, starting with Blackhall Gales. Poppy Byrne is representing the Blackhall Gales squad. Clannagail have Molly Canny. Drumbarra have Emily Morgan. Dunboyne have three players, including Anna Kane, Elizabeth Comerford, and Jessica O'Neill. There's a whole host of players from Dunshaughlin Royal Gales, including Anna Moyles, Emily Carter, Grace Somerville, Kiva McTeague, Ronicu Cato, Sarah Duffy, and Sion Hartigan. Nafina have two players, Brody Kelly and Kerry Cole. Kerry Cole, of course, had an unbelievable debut year, didn't she, with the Nafina senior team. Incredible to think she's still a minor player for this year coming. Navan O'Matney's also have a good representation, including Isabel Thorpe, Julia Connells, Lauren Woods, Murren Nelson, Nesta McDermott, and Rebecca Crowley. Oldcastle have two players involved, Cleona Smith and Emma Lynch. Three from Simonstown Gales, Anna Gardner, Chloe Caffrey, and Shauna Fox. One from Slane, that's Sarah O'Gorman. Eastern Gales also have one on the minor team. That's Emma O'Sullivan. That's going to be a first potential county panellist for Eastern Gales. First of many, they'll hope. St Dalton's have two players involved, Lauren Renix and Orla Riley. Three from Summerhill, Robin Larkin, Kira Flaherty, and Gracie Crehan. One from Trim, that's Grainne Neleary. And finally, one from Walterstown, Niamh McGuinness. So they are the under 14s, 16s and minor teams for the Meath LGFA ahead of the 2024 season, Mickey.
Yeah, brilliant stuff there, Davey. players from every corner of Mead involved with those three panels, which is absolutely great to see. Great spread of players, and just shows you the work that's going on across the county at all levels with the LGFA. So kudos to all of them, and best luck to all those girls taking the field this year at the different age groups for Mead. So best of luck to all of those players and teams.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
Okay, so moving on, Davey. It's that time of the year again. We've mentioned it already. The Allianz Football League is just around the corner. And that means one thing and one thing only. Yes, there's a big prize at the end of the day for all the players taking the field. It's a big prize for all of our listeners if they want to get involved. It is the GAA Predictions competition that Cortown run on a yearly basis. And we absolutely love this competition.
We do. This has gathered real legs over the last couple of years, and it's been so competitive. I think Nicky Gogan won it out last year. So for people who aren't aware, we run a fundraiser out in Cortown with the National League. It's GAApredictions.com. So essentially for every week at the National League, you have to predict the games from Division 1, 2, 3 and 4. But we've set up a We Are Mead League, which people can join when they go on to GAA Predictions and fill out their predictions. There is an option to join a league, and on the drop down you should see We Are Mead. Doesn't cost you anything by joining the league, and the league aggregates the score from week to week. And we run through it every week after a round of fixtures and update as to who's doing well and who's doing not so well. But as part of it, we're going to offer a jersey to the winner. Whoever wins it after the 7 weeks, we're going to give them the option of buying any jersey they want off O'Neill. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a Mead jersey. It'd be nice if it was, but whatever jersey you want from O'Neill's, we'll give that free of charge. And it's always a bit of crack. It's 20 quid to join for the 7 weeks. And there's great prize money on offer every week. So there's 200 euro prize money on offer every week with 100 euro first prize. And so that's 1400 across the 7 weeks. 20 quid gets you in for them all. And you literally just make your predictions on a weekly basis. Extra points for a draw, extra points for backing an underdog. It's all there, GAApredictions.com. And it's open for the next week and a half, nearly 2 weeks. It closes actually on Saturday lunchtime, the 27th, is it, Mickey? I think it's 27th. And Mead and Fermanagh is actually the first game of the weekend that weekend. It's on Park Dalton at 2:30 on the Saturday. So it will close before that. So get in now, enter the We Are Mead League if you're playing. We always have great crack with it, and see, can you beat me and Mickey? It's probably not too difficult to do that, though.
Oh, I don't know. Did I not finish ahead of you on PS, Dave? So that, like, I don't care what happens as long as I'm ahead of you on PS tapes at the end of the year. Like, it doesn't bother. It's like the one that they did in Cavan on the club championship. I didn't care who I finished ahead of, as long as I was ahead of Paul Fitzpatrick and Damien Donoghue and Eddie the Expert Halligan. Once I finished ahead of them, and I actually did, I actually finished in, I think, the top five or something in the Cavan one, which was absolutely brilliant for me. And the lads were absolutely stunned that I knew so much about Cavan club football. But With you, Davey, and the GA predictions, PS tapes, and yourself, that is my goal. It's like fantasy football, you know, FPL. I don't worry, fantasy Premier League. I don't worry about the rest of the world as long as I'm ahead of you, PS tapes, and Robbie Keane. That's the main thing, so it is. So, yeah, but it is a bit of crack. As you said, we do have the drop down for the We Are Mead League and stuff like that. So, get on that, and we'll look forward to the competition with everybody else. So yeah, we'll move on now, Davey. Time to go to our lotto segment.
100%, Mickey. And thanks to all the PROs who have been in touch. I'll start with my own Corton GFC. From Friday night, the 12th of January, we had a €17,500 jackpot, which wasn't at one. The numbers were 9, 10, 23, and 27. We dished out €500 to Katie Walsh, Damo Dardis, Niamh Crahan, Brian Rennicks, and Lara and Raymond Quayle. It all means that we have €17,600 on offer next Friday night. You can play that one at cortonga.com/lotto. Castletown are next in, and their results from the 10th of January, they had a €6,900 jackpot, of which it wasn't won. 1, 7, 15, and 26, their numbers. 30-euro lucky dip winners were Leisha Smith, Patricia Smith, Jimmy Smith, Pat Hoy, Jill and Fluff. Navin O'Matney's from last week, their numbers were 2, 17, 20, and 30. No jackpot winner. Good few match three winners, including Laura Coyle, Sarah Powderly, Kira Hogg, Jerry O'Brien, Sean Moran, and Joanne Brennan, Mickey, your sister.
Yeah.
She had three numbers. What was she missing?
Don't know. I'll have to ask her later on. She was unlucky.
She was almost 15 grand richer, but not to be. They go again on the 16th of January with 15,000 of a jackpot, and they are the clear second biggest jackpot in the county after Corton at the moment. Catch up, Colin, will you? Longwood from last week, they had a €3,300 jackpot. It wasn't won either. Lucky dip winners were Mickey Burke, aka Mr. 200. What a week it's been for Mickey Burke. Alan and Amy, Pat Tardy. The numbers were 11, 18, 24, and 25. And they go again on Monday night, the 15th, with €3,400. Drumbarra, their numbers from last week were 4, 6, 18, and 27. They had a €4,700 top prize, which wasn't won. The 30-euro winners were Susie Grimes, Ian O'Reilly, Amy McDermott, the Burden family, and John Muldoon. Their neighbours, Kilmainham, a lot of results from the 8th, which was last Monday night. They had no winner. Their numbers were 3, 15, 19, and 22. The jackpot next week moves on to €10,600. They did have five lucky dip winners last week, each receiving €20, who were Andrew Arkins, June Madden, Barbara Coral, Tara Murphy, and Willie Geraghty. Manalvi from last Monday night, 4, 6, 14, and 19, their numbers. €320 winners were Bethan Riley, Siobhan Douglas, and David Donoghue. Next draw takes place tomorrow, Monday, 15th of January. It's worth €6,300. You can play it at manalvigfc.ie or on the Club Force app. Walterstown from last Sunday night, 7th of January, 1, 5, 14, and 20, their numbers. No jackpot winner. They had one match three winner who was Martina Dean, and Martina collects €100. The jackpot is now worth €10,000, and you can play online via the Club Force app. Envelopes are also available in Curran's Garage, O'Brien's in Johnstown, or in the Clubhouse Bar. Next up is Dunamore Ashburn, and just waiting on their lotto to load up. You have to click into the club's app to see their one, but it has come up eventually. They had €8,800 from last week, the 7th of January. No winner. The match three winners were Iris Hickey, Michelle Duff, and Greg Toomey. The numbers were 11, 17, 20, and 22. And they go on to tonight, where they've got a €9,000 jackpot. And the final one from last week for me, Mickey, comes from Menalty. And their results from last Sunday night, they had a €5,600 jackpot. It wasn't won. The numbers were 6, 15, 22, and 28. Two match three winners, each receiving €100, were Olivia Cusson, a good friend of the podcast, who's stepped back from PRO duties, and Anthony Clinton. The special online prize of €50 went to Paul McCabe. And they're in action again tonight, Sunday the 14th of January, with €5,800.
Brilliant stuff, Davey. Central Sons Lotto last Monday, the 8th of January. Numbers drawn were 1, 4, 16 and 25. There was no jackpot winner. 5 €25 winners were Sonia O'Brien, Rachel Smith, Matthew Moran, Angela Gray and Jimmy Mullen. The jackpot this week on Monday night will be €6,800. Kilmainham Woods Lotto last week from Monday night, the 8th of January. The numbers drawn were 4, 13, 15 and 20. There was no jackpot winner. The five lucky dip winners, each receiving €20 each, were Delma Farley, Paul Carlin, Oren Kyogan, Elaine Sheridan and Amy Shankey. And this week's lotto on Monday night will be €6,200. Simonson's lotto from Friday the 12th of January was €4,700. There was no winner. Lucky dip people called it, pulled out, were Tess and PJ Carney, Miss Malloy and Kyle Dunn. The numbers drawn were 20, 24, 28 and 29. This Friday night's lotto will be 4,750. It's time to move on now, Davey, to our Instagram interactive. And do we have much interaction from our listeners? I know we did in our match day diary, plenty of people getting involved. I know the Tui family, who are now a regular on our match day diary, they sent in a couple of messages as well. They were all upbeat before the game and the message after the game. Of course, we lost to Longford and they were a little bit disappointed, but they know we've got bigger fish to fry. So I'm sure plenty of people have got in contact with you on our Instagram interactive.
They have. Just on that, I love them. They literally send a 3 or 4 second voice note and they just love it. I can actually picture them all in their car, you know, on the way to the game, and you can actually feel the buzz coming from them. I think it's absolutely class. So please keep it going, lads. But yeah, we've had a bit of Instagram interactive, starting with Dahi Finnegan, Mickey, who wants to know who's Philip O'Reilly. I think there was a typo in the program and on the team sheet. That was, of course, Philly O'Brien from St. Pat's, and Dahi is a club member of Philly, so he knows the crack, and he's only saying that in tongue-in-cheek, but there's no Philly O'Reilly. There's only one Philly O'Brien. Of course, underdog fame as well from last year.
Absolutely.
Richie Judge said, delighted to see Chris Gorman called up, an amazing prospect. Yeah, he made his debut for the Meath Hurlers on Sunday, wing back, and played well. Big, strong, strapping fella, and looks to have a good future as well, Mickey.
100%. Yeah, that's one that you saw. I couldn't say much about him. And you are our small ball expert at this stage, Davey.
Dara Tui, one of the aforementioned Tui's, said, where is Jordan Morris? Shane Riley quickly responded and said, Jordan Morris out for 3 months, had an operation on his leg. I heard this at the Loud game. I don't think it's quite 3 months, Mickey. I think he should be back in the next month, hopefully, all going well. I did speak to him a couple of weeks ago and he said a month or two. So hopefully we'll see him back before the end of February at least. And he'll be a welcome addition when he is back.
Absolutely. Again, he lit up the Cavan Championship with Kingscourt this year. He had a poor enough final, but they came up against an unbelievable team and the supply wasn't there for him in the final. But up until then, he was absolutely unmarkable. Great, great year once again for Jordy. And one of the things that I loved about Jordy's play this year, you can find him in the full back line. He's brought a really high intensity into his defensive duties as well, which is brilliant to see.
Very good. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Robert Purfield and Shane Riley both want to know, or not Shane Riley, Deck F. Dunn, both want to know about the Galway game. I think we've kind of hit that on the nail. I don't think there's anything more to be really said about that. Joe McWeeney wants to know, is there any word on if Sean Leonard and Connor McWeeney are on the under-20s panel? Keane McFadden confirmed that Sean Leonard and Connor McWeeney are both on the under-20 panel. But I do believe that, unfortunately, this is just typical, isn't it? That Connor McWeeney actually has had a reoccurrence of those shin splints, which caused him so much trouble over the last couple of years. And he's going to be out on till the end of February at the earliest. Sean Leonard's on the way back from a knee injury and he should be back in action over the next week or two. So I suppose good and bad news on those, but to answer Joe's question, they're both on the panel anyway.
Yeah, and hopefully they can recover first.
Yeah, 100%, Mickey. Sorry, I just got a little bit sidetracked now. Where's that last one gone? Jesus, these are jumping all over the place. There's one here that's gone. It was about Liam Stafford, which I can't see. It's hardly deleted. It's the last one as well, Mickey. I can't locate it. Here we go. Shane Riley benched. He said Liam Stafford making his debut, a good performance Friday night for such a young side.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and we've talked about that already, you know, and to lose by a goal against Longford, to bring it back to level. Did they go ahead actually in the second half at one stage and look like
we were ahead? Yeah, like we were 4 points up midway through the first half and we went level in the second half twice. We didn't hit the front in the second half, yeah.
But looked really good in that second half. And, you know, for a side that kind of probably have never played together in that kind of an environment, you know, like it took them a while to find their feet, but maybe through the second half, they looked like a team that were, you know, as good as the opposition.
It did. Yeah. No, absolutely. And a bit of experience and a little bit more of a clinical edge, I think we probably could have won that game. Just on Liam Stafford, actually, he was meant to go on a family holiday last Wednesday and he got the call to say the lads wanted him involved on the Saturday and he stayed at home to come off the bench and make his debut for Meath, which is brilliant testament to his commitment and his want to play for Meath. And I think he got a flight over on Sunday then to the rest of his family for the rest of the holiday. So great to see.
Absolutely. That is the type of footballer that you want involved with your team. Do you know what I mean? Like, and this is a guy who's not on the main panel, I take it, David.
No.
He's on the development squad that's, you know, coming behind him. To see that kind of dedication, I'm sure that will go stand to him going forward with the likes of Colm O'Rourke and Sean Boylan and stuff like that are involved in the background. So, really, really good stuff, David.
For sure. That's it for this week, Mickey, on Insta.
That's it for this week on Insta. Well, I suppose that's it from this episode of your We Are Meath podcast. Don't forget to check out all our Loyal Royals this week. We do have the matchday diary from the World Cup semi-final. We do have the review from Meath and Longford as well from that game. We're going to do a full review with the interviews of Colm O'Rourke, Jack O'Connor. And we have a review from the Keogh Cup and Saoirse Bulfin's new look Meath team when they took on down in Longwood on Sunday afternoon. We have interviews with Saoirse and, of course, the double century-making appearances for Mickey Burke. Brilliant interview there with him as well. So that's it from this episode of the We Are Meath podcast. Remember, We Are Meath, boy, and us more.